close that door. Well, amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's great to be back with everybody in person.
Come on, Dr.
Sharice, of course, will join us sooner or later. She is doing good. I'm at home working her real hard, she would tell you. I said, we don't have time to sit around, lady. But Sharice is a great self-motivator herself. She's like me, it's just us. She's like, we don't believe in laying around because we're having what we call a moment. We're like, it's just a moment. This ain't gonna last forever. But she's been great about doing a lot of the therapy technique that they taught us in the hospital. And of course, I get with her and we walk around the house. they give us this contraption, which she had before, that they put on your feet, so it keeps your feet from dragging. And I'm thinking, man, a lot of us could use that anyway, but it connects to the back of your calf muscle and it connects to your tennis shoe. So when you're tempted to drag that feet, that calf muscle reflects and it pushes that feet, that point of your, points your feet up. So I was like, man, that's a nice device there. Keep me from tripping upstairs and everything, I say. But amen, guys, we're going to be in the book of John 15, the gospel, I should say, the gospel of John 15 this morning. And we're going to talk about let them see Jesus.
Come on.
Oh, no. Do you feel like people see Jesus every time when they see you?
No.
Oh, man. Let them see Jesus always. I got a new hat. Always. Scott over hat. I bought three new hats, Scott.
That's not
happy, I know. I couldn't resist. I seen the guy when I went to the... I know. I saw the guy when I went there, and the minute guy always joke every time I see him. He's like, you ain't got this hat. I said, I got this one. So I collect a lot of the hats he gets, and I love the hats because they're just inspirational, and they're just so encouraging. I love to promote my faith wherever I go.
Right.
So you have three new hats to the collection. So, amen. We're going to talk about let them see Jesus. We're going to be in the Gospel of John 15. You know, our world needs to see Jesus in us.
Yes.
They need to see him in you and I.
That's right.
Always. They need to see the example of Jesus lived out in our lives every day. That's right. That means no rest, no break. Being like Jesus is about being a student. Being a student of Jesus is about being connected to the vine.
Yes, that's right.
When you stay connected, you don't wither or you don't die. Remaining in Jesus allows him to remain in you. You cannot bear righteous fruit if you are not connected to Jesus. Over in the Gospel of John 15, I love Jesus. He's always encouraging his disciples. He's giving them instructions. He's building them up, but he's also challenging them about the life that they should live and how their life should reflect. But he also challenges them about, guess what? You need to stay connected with me. This is the only way you're going to be successful in this life that God has given you. He's like, if you're not connected with me, you're just going to die. You're just going to wither. We've all seen branches laid on the ground. A branch that's not attached to a tree, what does it look like? It's dead.
Firewood.
There you go. That's right. Amen. It's only either good for firewood or bearing fruit. But it only can bear fruit if it stay connected to what? The branch. I mean, stay connected to the vine or the tree. But we don't want to be that branch that's disconnected because we don't want to die and we don't want to wither. And we have to fight to stay connected, don't we?
Yes.
There's a lot of challenges. I appreciate Richard sharing about all the challenges that our churches are going through. But we need to find joy in those moments.
That's right.
Yes.
When I was in rehab with Sharice and one of the nurses, we were talking, and it was amazing. She shared something. I said, this is awesome. Of course, me, you guys know me. I need to write about this. This is awesome. She said, you know, I see a lot of people come in here, and a lot of people are like saying, why me? You know, and I tell them, what God says to you, why not you? I was like, whoa. She said, when did God ever say you was an exception to the rule?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. I said, whoa. Mind blowing. But a lot of times we can feel like, why me? But God says, why not you?
Yeah.
I've tested so many who've come before you. I've allowed so many to go through so many things before who came before you. But God says, you know, the key to their success is they stay connected to the vine.
Amen.
They stay connected to the vine. And when you stay connected to the vine, you can find joy in the moment. John 15 verse 1 says, I am the vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. That's powerful. You're already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. He says, remain in me and also will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me, my words remain in you. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciple.
Amen.
Wow. Let them see God. How do they see God? In you. You have to remain in Jesus. Ain't that something? You know, the part of this that we all really love is, this is our favorite part in this. But this is just shows our immaturity. And God said, you just got to grow. Because we can be selective. But the part we love here is when he says in verse 7, and it's going to be the latter part, he says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, here's the part we love. Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. We love that part. Everybody loves that part. Oh, hey, forget everything else. Forget remaining. Forget not. He said, ask anything. Well, Lord, this is what I'm looking for today. This is what I need. This is what I want. But Jesus said, that's not remaining in me. That's not right. Being completely connected to me.
That's right.
you just want the other part. You just want the give me part. But Jesus said, that doesn't make our relationship. That doesn't make you strong. You see, a branch by itself is weak and useless. It just is. It's weak and it's useless. It's either good for bearing fruit or burning. But it only can bear fruit if it stays connected to Jesus. It cannot produce anything on its own.
That's right.
It does not have that ability. It must draw life from the vine. It is your communion with Christ through the Holy Spirit that makes it possible for you and I to bear fruit.
Amen. Come on, Sydney.
Are you remaining in Jesus these days?
Come on.
Are you staying connected in Jesus these days? Really, are you? Are you staying connected in Jesus? You know, I was talking to Tom over in Tuscaloosa. I love Tom. Tom has really been reaching out because he's moved to Tuscaloosa and just God has inspired him to go over there, and he says, I'm going over to plant Jesus. And something he shared what was powerful, and we're all familiar with this. Tom says, I'm not over here to crank up the ministry. He said, no, I'm here to join the ministry. Amen. He said, Jesus' ministry is always cranking.
Yep.
It's just a matter of not if you're going to be on board.
Amen.
I was like, wow, that's powerful, Tom. Tom said, hey, Jesus only gets to crank his ministry. It's been going on long before we got here.
Yeah.
He just want to know, now that you're a part of the team, are you going to do your part in the ministry?
Uh-huh.
I thought powerful. Tom shared that in 15 days, he met 40 people.
Wow.
I'm like, that's possible. I see probably 40 people in 15 days. I see a lot of people every day, different people. And he says, I met 40 people, and I intentionally said hello and started the conversation with 40 people in 15 days. And he said, out of 40 people, now, most of us get discouraged by this last number, but I'm encouraged. He said, out of 40 people, one seems promising. That's like, that's powerful.
Praise God.
That's powerful. But from the way we used to think, nah, we need to have at least 10% of those 40 people. We need at least 4 people, 10 people. Tom said, I got one person of interest.
Amen.
Tom, he shared about going out there, just letting his light shine, bearing his fruit. Tom is on the campus, so he went to where another brother told him to go. And I don't know if he got lost or whatever, but he ended up in this building. He's like, huh, what is this building? It's a senior citizen building up on the University of Alabama campus. Huh. He says, so he goes off and he rolls through the building. And he rolls to the back porch and he says, I see walkers and mobile wheelchairs. Huh. He says, what is this?
Yeah. Wow, yeah.
What is and Tom said, I looked around and said, I wonder what everybody's doing back here. So he talked to some people. People say, well, we can't smoke inside the building. So we have to come out here in the back and smoke. Tom said, I thought to myself, this is my future Bible talk. What a great place to talk to some people. Because Tom said, hey, if you got to have a cigarette, well, I can be out here too. So either you're going to want that smoke bad enough to hear me preach, or you're going back in the building. I said, man. Yeah, there you go. But, you know, man, how bad do you want it? But I was so encouraged by Tom sharing that about, you know, Sydney says, you have to see the opportunities that God puts before you. You know, he says, you know what? He says, make your plan, but be open to God having a better plan.
Yes,
yes.
Tom has a plan to get on the campus going for the young folks, but just by chance, he ended up at a senior retirement place. And God said, look at here. Look what we have here, an opportunity. If you remain in God, you will be amazed at the things that God will put before you. He will put an opportunity before you to share your faith, to be a light. And just maybe, out of the 40 people that you will come in contact with, you might find one that's promising.
Amen.
Amen.
Remain in God so that he will remain in you. Pick it up in verse 9, it says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remained in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Second point, having joy in the moment.
Amen.
For the last 4 weeks, I've been with Sharice, 3 weeks of that, in the hospital. I've never left her side except for one night when I couldn't go in the main ICU, but I was back there the next day. Been with her every night. Stay there, watch what the nurses did, and when I figured out what they did, I took over. That's right, because that's my wife. That's my best friend. That's my woman. I took over. Now, it's easy. Some people are like, let them do it. I can't handle all that. I found joy in the moment of being a caregiver. Oh, it was joyful to take care of that woman. It was a great pleasure and a smile to take care of her. And every time I would help her pick her up and help her get to the bathroom, I said, I got you. I got you. Now we do this thing at home and I help her in the morning because she suffers with a little weakness. I get up, I say, all right, you ready to do our two-step? Let's do our two-step.
I found
joy in the moment.
Amen.
Found joy in the moment. But I can't find that joy, and I would not have that joy if I would not remain connected to Jesus.
That's right.
Amen. Finding joy in the moment, serving her. Get up in the morning, that's how you want your breakfast. What are we having this morning? Cook it, have it all, got it down to a science, got her medicine down to a science. I find joy in the moment. You know, when you're going through something or you're seeing a loved one suffering, it can be hard on you. And you forget that it's actually not your moment. You see, Sharice has experienced this moment. It's a byproduct for me experiencing it. She's the one suffering. I'm still got my mobility. I'm still able to do something. So what should I be doing? Acting like I'm suffering as bad as she is? Or should I say what? Or should I be like, let me see what I can do? How can I serve you? How can I be like Jesus to you? That's what I look to do. You know, a couple of brothers, we were talking and we were sharing. And one brother, I was sharing about that. And he's like, I'm going to preach about this, man, the joy that you're finding in this. He says, because there's a lot of people who can't handle this like you, like you're handling this. I said, brother, it's Jesus, it's God. That's the only way I'm able to handle this. When you find joy in remaining in Jesus, people will see that.
That's right.
They will see that.
Yes.
And they will go talk about it. They will tell people about what they saw. They will tell people, Jesus is still on the throne, and God is still in control. You know, The impact of your joy during someone else's suffering can help them to recover. I won't let Sharice have a pity party. I said, no, you know, we can have tears, but we're not going to invest in those things very long. We got work to do.
Yeah.
We got work to do. But because of that, now she's telling me, I got it. I feel like she's stealing my joy, man. I'm having fun taking care of you. Why are you taking my joy back? But she's like, I got it. She's got it. Like, I'm getting my independence back. I got it. You know, another brother, actually it was Tom who shared with me, he said, brother, there's nothing worse than seeing someone that you love suffer like that. Yeah. But he reminded me, he says, brother, but you know that God has still got you. I said, yes, I do, brother.
Amen.
Yes, I do. Something I learned about having joy in the moment, there's a sister, and you always think your situation is worse, but her joy, it amazes me. Recently, me and this sister and some other people got invited to be on an advisory board and committee. And so, you know, we're on there. And so I'm looking like, you know, why are you asking me? And the brother says, because of your perseverance. You have so many challenges, yet you have not even chosen, even talked about tapping out. And how you find joy in this moment just amazed me. He said, I think that qualifies you to be an advisor to me. It's like, wow, that's amazing. He picked this other sister, and I thought, nah, her situation is worse than mine, brother, worse than mine. But she's on the board, a disciple 22 years, married 22 years, and her husband left her for another woman. Mm-hmm. Both of them in the church as disciples.
Oh.
And he left the country with the woman.
Oh.
I thought, I ain't going through nothing. I ain't suffering. You know, we really think my situation is hard, but when I heard of her situation, left her and their two teenage boy for another woman, left the country with the other woman. Huh? But she's finding joy in the moment.
Amen.
Happy to be on the advisory board. I'm like, I'm happy to be on the team with you. I mean,
yeah.
When you remain in Jesus, you can find joy in the moment. And even in your joy, it doesn't mean you won't have a few tears. But your tears, and those times when you feel like, oh, it's just horrible or whatever, they will not overtake your joy.
That's right.
Because you know that Jesus is still on the throne. Mm-hmm. And you know that as long as you are connected to Jesus, not only can you bear fruit, but you can be joyful through any and every situation that is put before you. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a saying that said, most of us have many acquaintances, but few friends, and even some of our friends may prove unfriendly and unfaithful.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Are you Jesus' friend? Will you be a great representation of Jesus when times are hard, when they are challenging?
Yeah.
When a loved one is suffering, will you still remain in Jesus and be his friend? Because you see, when you are suffering, Jesus is always going to be your friend.
That's right.
And he's always going to be fighting for you.
That's right.
Verse 12, and the final point. He says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other. Final point, loving my best friend. We all have a best friend, whether it's a sister, a brother. For me, it's a spouse. Loving my best friend. When I was in Methodist rehab, that was some of my best moments for 2 weeks. impacted that staff because I wanted them to see how much I love God's daughter.
That's right.
And I told that staff that. And there's one with all of, there was one particular staff. She's coming to complain to the street. She said, "Your husband won't let us do nothing." I said, I got her. We had a battle going on. She's talking about, and she brought Sharice ice one day. I said, "I could have got the ice, but my ice is better today." I'm like, "No, it's not." But had such an impact on there. I changed Sharice's bed. I got, she helped Sharice get dressed. I made sure she had food, everything. I went to all her therapies with her. I was there every minute, talked to all the nurses, everything. So impacted that some of the staff started coming to me for counseling.
Wow.
Amen.
But you would think, this is my moment. Why you want my time?
Yeah.
But I thought about Jesus. See, when you remain in Jesus, you realize when Jesus was on the cross, who did he make time for? A thief, like, "Lord, can you help me?" He made time in his suffering for somebody else. But too many times when we're suffering, I don't care about nobody else. Oh, I'm suffering. This is my moment. No. This was Jesus' moment. Met a staff there. We talked for a little bit. Got hearing some things going in life. I said, "Well, I can help if you want help." She thought about it, went away. I was there. She came back a couple of days, said hello. Thought about it, went away. I think 2 days before we left, she came back and she sat down and talked for a little bit. Told me what was going on. I said, "Well, I can help, and I know some friends who can help." I'm talking about you guys. I said, "I know some friends who can help. You want help?" Thought about it, went away, and the last day we was there, came and sat down. We must have talked about 30 minutes. I remember the other little nurse came in and said, "Well, do you know?" I said, "No, come on, do your discharge thing." I told her, "Don't you go nowhere." Got there, talked to her, shared with her. She said, "Can I have your number?" I said, "Yeah. You got the church card with my number? Here's my card." Made time for somebody who was in need. Made time for somebody. The only reason that was able to happen, because she saw how I loved my best friend.
Amen.
Every staff member saw how I loved and took care of Sharice. I went and got her for therapy. I knew every gym floor to take her on. I knew what therapy she had to go to. I knew what food she had. The only thing I could not do that would not let me do that I do now is give her regular shots. That's the only thing I couldn't do. But I loved her and took care of her and made sure her needs were met. When you remain in Jesus, you will take care of those whom you love. And people will see that, and it will have such an impact on them that you will realize there's fruit being buried here. Mm-hmm. There's fruit being buried here. People take notice of that. That young lady who I talked to, she just looked, and she's like, "Man, this is the kind of marriage I want." Because
yeah.
She shared some details about how her husband needs to get there to be able to take care of her like that. She saw how I took care of Sharice. But that wouldn't have happened if I did not remain in Jesus.
That's right.
Outside of Jesus, I'd be an old withered up dead branch, only good for fire.
Right.
But connected to Jesus, they got to see Jesus in me when I was there with my wife. What about you? In your current situation, your circumstances, wherever you work, wherever you go, however you interact, whatever tragedy you're dealing with, are people seeing Jesus in you? Are they seeing Jesus in you so much that it's want to make them to sit down and say, "Can I talk to you? How are you finding joy in this moment? How are you so happy? Your world is turned upside down. How are you so happy?" Do people see Jesus in you like that?
Amen.
Does your life reflect that?
Ask that question.
You know, if people are not seeing that, then they're not seeing Jesus.
Yep.
And if they're not seeing Jesus, you have to ask yourself, did I get disconnected today from Jesus for some reason?
Right.
Did I sit Jesus to the side and I decided that I was going to step in and take control?
Right.
To remain in Jesus, man, you've got to embrace a lot of humility.
Yes.
You've got to learn to be a passenger and not a driver.
Yes.
You've got to learn to be a passenger and not a driver. To remain in Jesus, you've got to learn to follow and not lead. Let Jesus lead the way. Jesus says, the only reason that we are friends is because He has revealed everything to you that the Father has revealed to him.
That's right.
He's given us everything we need to be like him, to look like him.
Right.
You know, people see Jesus in you and I when we stay connected to the vine. They just do. But when we no longer stay connected to the vine, all they see is what the rest of the world shows them, a withered and dead branch. What are you going to be going forward? Who are you going to be going forward? Are you going to be that branch that remains in the vine? Or are you just going to be another dead, withered branch that nobody has use for?
Right.
I'm going to close with the saying, my mom always tells my niece this, and she always tells me this. And it's amazing, it's fitting for this. She says, you know what? Keep God close, and he will stay close to you. I want to encourage you to keep God close, and he will stay close to you. And when you do that, people will see Jesus in you. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you guys so much.
Amen.